Following Packers 319 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News, and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Green 19 podcast. I'm your host, Tom Silverstein. Missing this evening is Mr. Jim Osarski, who did not make the trip to the Meadowlands for the Packers' 31-13 victory over the New York Giants. You might have noticed a little bit different intro. That's because Jim has the recording that I made and I can't find on my computer. So we have that. Before we get started, I would like to remind you that our sponsor, Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino, you can elevate your night at the Midwest's premier entertainment destination, home to gaming, dining, shows, and expanded hotel and spa. It's all happening at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Well, I'm by myself, so please forgive me if there are some pauses and ums, because I'm used to doing this with Jim, and we usually have a pretty good repartee. So a couple things that I thought I'd bring up regarding this game, one of which I wrote about, and that's the offense. I think what we saw again was an example of the Packers getting enough done to win a game, but not looking like a smooth, coherent offense. What we're talking about really is individuals making plays here and there, a lot of times off of Aaron Rodgers' arm, and a lot of off-schedule plays. Now, we saw a lot of snow at the game, and that changes field conditions, and that can lead to a lot of off-schedule plays. And by off-schedule plays, of course, we mean that scrambles, plays where Rodgers has a lot of time in the pocket and the receiver has to break off his route or continue his route past where it was supposed to go. A lot of times it was scrambles, and we saw some really nice plays from that regard. But the bottom line is the Packers can't live by this way of moving the ball and scoring points. I think we saw that against San Francisco, that it's not sustainable. San Francisco shut down the run and then played excellent pass defense behind it. And they did not make the mistakes that the Giants did. The Giants are a young team. They're not a good team. Teams come to MetLife Stadium to get healthy, and that's exactly what the Packers did. So I don't want to take too much away from this game other than, you know, Aaron Rodgers can still make the big-time throws. The throw he made to Mercedes Lewis, their final touchdown, with a guy draped all over him and just threw a perfect shot to Lewis run into the pylon. That was a great throw. He made another great play when he got the Giants to were substituting, and he caught them with 12 men on the field and threw a strike to Davante Adams. I mean, that's what Rodgers gives you. Those kind of plays can help win games. But I just don't think that they're what you have to base your offense on. And I asked Rodgers about that after the game, and he agreed that they need to run the ball better and they need to be better on the so-called on-schedule plays. So what happened to the running game? We keep hearing that they're going to feature Aaron Jones, and fact is they want to, but the last two teams have basically dictated that the Packers are going to have to throw. And here's how the Giants did it. So normally they're somewhat of a 3-4, 4-3 hybrid team. And they usually play three defensive linemen and will use two linebackers around that. And sometimes they use it as a, they'll bring the Sam linebacker down and it'll be a four-man front. But what they did was they brought in another defensive lineman and they made it a four-man front on early downs. And so they had four really good size guys across the front. And then they still went with their Sam linebacker, Marcus Golden, who's a solid player. And they made it very difficult to run the ball. So you did see early on, Aaron Jones had 18 yards on his first three carries. Once they started to hit a couple of the big plays, they just got away from the run game. I thought they didn't attempt it enough. I thought there were opportunities for them on third downs to get some draw plays and maybe get closer to the first down and maybe have an opportunity to go for it on fourth down. But I think the big plays are kind of intoxicating. You saw on the first drive, Rodgers hits Alan Lazard on a deep ball. He thought he caught them off sides, and actually he didn't. So he threw it up there to Lazard, and the ball just tailed on him, hooked on him. And Lazard just made a beautiful play running over to the other hash, across the field, and making a diving catch. While we're on that subject, Alan Lazard has moved to the number two receiver spot. There's no question about it. Geronimo Allison is what you would consider the slot receiver. Davante Adams and Alan Lazard are the two outside receivers. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is almost missing in action. I don't know how many snaps he got, but it wasn't that many. And it looked to me like he might have screwed up a screen pass. They just don't have a lot of confidence in him right now. Rodgers will throw it up to him. He did throw a deep ball to him. But they're not playing him a whole lot. I think they're going to ride with Lazard and Adams and Allison and a little bit of Kumaro and a little bit of Valdez-Scantling. But when it comes down to their two receiver sets, it's Lazard and Adams. Okay, back to what I was talking about with their offense. So they hit these plays, then they hit another Davante Adams touchdown. And, you know, they're thinking, okay, it's a halfway decent half. But at the same time, the Giants, they get the ball and they're running these extremely long drives that are just eating up the clock and keeping the offense off the field. And so we get to halftime and it's only 17-10. And you would have thought with those big plays, the Packers should have been dominating the game, but they weren't. And the second half, we saw a little bit more of the same. We saw more off-schedule plays. Rodgers finished with great numbers. His passer rating was 125.4, 21 of 33 for 243 yards, four touchdowns, wasn't sacked, wasn't intercepted. But then you look at the run numbers, 26 carries, 79 yards. That's just not going to get it done. And my point in this whole thing is if you face a better team, you're going to have to be more balanced and you're going to have to make some plays on schedule. I don't think we're seeing the kind of offense we saw maybe middle of the season when they seem to be getting more and more into LaFleur's offense with a lot of motion, a lot of play action. And while they are doing a lot of play action, it's just not fooling anybody. You're not really seeing a ton of open wide receivers. And I think that's a problem. And I think if they don't solve that, if they just want to continue as a team that is sort of a bunch of individuals who make plays from time to time, then I don't think they're going anywhere. I thought on a couple of subjects with the offense, I thought that Brian Bulaga coming back was huge. And he played pretty well from what I could see. I need to look at it again, but there were a number of opportunities where Rodgers had plenty of time to throw. There weren't always open wide receivers. So I think their offensive line had a much better game than they did against San Francisco. They weren't facing the degree of pass rushers, but overall, you know, they just had a hard time dealing with the Giants up front. And I think that should have led to a more consistent play action game, but it didn't. And I don't know, you know, they're going to play Washington next week and Chicago the week after that, and then they'll play the Vikings. I don't know that we can say anything came out of this game that positively shows that they're going to be better against the Vikings than they were against the 49ers. Let's switch over to the defensive side. Oh, one other thing to mention was, you know, you're talking about individuals, and they got four coverage penalties against the Giants. And that's individuals. That's Davante Adams forcing a corner to hold him. And he drew most of the penalties. Lazard drew one. But again, you saw the same thing the week before against San Francisco, and they weren't drawing those penalties because San Francisco has better players. So that's also something you can't live by. Defensively, you know, this defense is really hard to quantify because on the one hand, they held the Giants to 13 points. You can't argue with that. They gave up a huge amount of time of possession. But on the other hand, the yardage numbers weren't that different. So they gave up 95 yards rushing, 240 yards passing. You know, the number of big plays they gave up wasn't huge. They gave up one 43-yard pass and one 32-yard pass. And then I think maybe one other pass of 20 or more. They had three interceptions, which saved them. I mean, it really, I shouldn't say saved them, but made their day a lot better than what it was. And, you know, interceptions, they've lived by interceptions and sacks, and they're not that much different than the offense in that they have a lot of individual performers, but they don't always fit together as a unit and play great defense. I thought the pass rush was pretty decent. You have to get some pressure on Daniel Jones. Giants offensive line is not that good. They did not let Saquon Barkley go off. He was 19 carries, 83 yards, 4.4 average. I don't think you can ask for much more than that against him. Very talented guy. They had some trouble in coverage. I think some of that had to do with the conditions. Giants had the same trouble. Anytime there was a double move or receiver had time to make another move, then it was hard for the corners to stay with them. Kevin King got beat on a double move. That, you know, was one of the plays that showed how tough it was to stay with them. But then, you know, you saw the DBs. King made a great interception. You know, it was a good break. He knew what the route was, and he broke on it, turned, saw that the ball was coming. It wasn't the best of throws, but it was a good play by him. And you saw Tremont Williams make just a great catch on a ball down the middle. He got beat once or twice for some decent gains, but he still playing solid football. And then Darnell Savage had a gimme when Jones overthrew Sterling Shepard, and it was right in Savage's gut. A couple things I noticed on defense that I thought were interesting. They look like they're starting to pare down a little bit on who they're playing. I did not see Montrevious Adams hardly at all. And his playing time has kind of been dwindling, and they're starting to give Kingsley Keke a little bit more time. And I think that's reflective of Adams. They're just not getting what they need from him. And so you're seeing Lowry, Lancaster, Clark, and Keke really as the main defensive linemen. The other thing was you didn't see Oren Burks again. I mean, nothing until the end. And I think they're just, it's week 12 of the season, and it's time to figure, you know, it's time to play the guys you know you're going to win with or have to win with. And so they are no longer playing a couple of those guys who aren't helping them. I think Rashawn Gary is in that boat as well. And there's a lot to talk about with Gary, probably for a future podcast, but he's not producing. He's really, I think they took him with the thought that it was going to be a process to turn him into a pass rusher, and that's exactly what it has been. And he doesn't play as much, doesn't get a ton of reps because Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith hardly go off the field. And that's not a bad thing. He's learning from those guys. But you'd like to see a play or two from him once in a while. And we're not seeing that from him. I think overall the defense, it's a mixed bag. You know, they're still pretty good in the red zone. They gave up that really long drive, 18 plays, 66 yards, and they held them to a field goal. I mean, 18 plays and you hold them to a field goal, what more can you ask? It's just that it ate up 9 minutes and 31 seconds of the second quarter. That's 9 minutes, 31 seconds that the offense didn't have the ball. I don't know what Petten will do in terms of just changing things down the stretch. I didn't see a lot of different looks that they gave. It looked pretty standard to me. They played a lot of base defense because of Barkley. So they have to put together games better than this if they're going to get to where they want to go. And we've seen that, you know, the defense has been really the epitome of some good players making good plays and not a real continuity to the defense. Special teams, J.K. Scott got off the schneid. I thought he had a nice game, 3 punts. His first punt was a beauty. Second punt was pretty good, but he got a good bounce. And then the third punt was another beauty. So averaged 46.7 yards per punt. That's more like what he's been giving. Mason Crosby, you got to give him just a ton of credit. He may have read it, may not have. Crosby's sister-in-law died of cancer on Friday, and he flew down to Texas to be with his brother and the family. And then the Packers flew him back here so that Saturday night so that he could kick. And then he's going back to Texas. He went back to Texas after the game. That's been a tough year for him. His wife had a tumor removed this summer, and now his sister-in-law dies. He's had to go through a pretty tough competition in camp, and he's been nothing short of great. Hit a 47-yard field goal in lousy conditions, and I believe he's 14 of 15 for the season on field goals and 33 of 33 on PATs. So you can't ask much more from him. His kickoffs have been pretty good too. Overall, special teams was sort of what I wrote about Sunday, which is they are stable, but they don't do anything great. And, other than J.K. Scott changing field position, they don't do a lot. They did, hallelujah, there should be bells here ringing. They did get 3 positive yards on punt returns. So I think that puts them at like -8 for the season. Does that sound right? Tre'Mont Smith had 3 kickoff returns for 72 yards. Just some stats to go over. Offensively or defensively, team stats. The Giants were 5 of 14 on third downs. They started out much better than that, especially during that second quarter drive. They had 64 offensive plays. They averaged 3.5 yards per play. I'm sorry, per rushing play. They averaged 5.2 yards per play. Daniel Jones completed 20 of 37 passes for 240 yards, 1 TD, 3 interceptions, 49.4 rating. He was not sacked. Penalties, Packers committed 7 for 54. Fumbles, they had 2, but they did not lose either one. Both of them were out of bounds. Packers were 3 for 3 in the red zone, and the Giants were 1 for 3. And Packers on third down were 7 of 13. So that's a pretty much a roundup of what occurred. The inactives, if you didn't hear, wide receiver Ryan Grant was inactive again. He seems to be just an emergency guy that they're not going to play unless there's an injury. They just want him around. It must feel like he practices well, gives them a good look at in the slot, but they don't feel they need him right now. Dexter Williams was not up. Will Redmond was not up. He was injured, and so I think that was for injury purposes. Tony Brown was down, Kadar Holman was down, Pankey was down, and Yash Nieman was down as well. I did see Jared Veld here was there at the game, and he worked on some pass sets. He can't wear pads or anything like that because he's on a reserve. Well, he's actually not on the reserve retired, but he's on an exemption, and so he can't do anything in games, but he will be able to practice. And so he was working on pass sets by himself, run sets, just trying to get in a workout. And we'll see what happens with him next week in practice. I think the way Balaga played, there's not an immediate need for him. I asked Balaga how he made it through, and he said he's going to be really sore, but you got to give him a lot of credit. He is. I don't know how you describe him, but he just keeps coming back. And so he deserves a significant amount of credit. Final score again, 31-13. Packers improved to 9-3. 49ers lost. So NFC is right there. Saints own the best record in the NFC, and it's going to be a dogfight till the end. I think we're going to see Packers, San Francisco, Seattle, Minnesota, New Orleans, all in the running for home field advantage and for supremacy in the NFC. This coming week, Packers play Washington, which came up with an upset victory, and They had 7 sacks in that game. Pretty impressive. It'll be interesting to see whether they can do that kind of damage against the Packers at Lambeau Field. But it'll be, you know, it's a game they should win just like they won this game. You know, they should not be losing to 3-9 teams. And that's what Washington is after that victory. So I think I'll wrap it up. I know it was a little shorter than normal, but I don't have a second voice with me. But Jim will be back. We'll have the midweek podcast. And I want to mention that this podcast was brought to you by Potawatomi. However you play it, elevate your entertainment experience at the Midwest's premier entertainment destination. Home to 24/7 gaming, dining, shows, an expanded luxury hotel, and full-service spa. It's all happening right here at Potawatomi Hotel and Casino. I want to thank them for sponsoring us. And I want to thank you for listening every week. And I will say farewell till next time. Have a good week, everybody.